heading in the right direction. 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 Today's message is Divine Connections and Covenant Relationships by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew 19 and verse 6. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let what? Let no man put asunder, or let no man separate, is what the Amplified said. What God has joined together, let no man separate. And this is what my third message in this. I started this about 4 weeks ago, but of course, one of those Sundays, of course, I wasn't here last week. We were in Maine or coming back home. But the subject of this teaching is divine connections and covenant relationships. Divine connections and covenant relationships. And I'm giving today's message a subtitle called Let's Stay Together. Look at your neighbor and say, let's stay together. Loving you weather. Look at your neighbor and say, let's stay together. Let's stay together. Yeah, all right now. Y'all can get with me now. Let's stay together. We've identified four types of relationships. We've identified and that there are accidental relationships. Accidental relationships, you literally just bump into people along the path of life. Meet somebody in the supermarket, in the mall, in a meeting, on an elevator. You're probably never going to see them again. You may have a couple little pleasantries, words, good morning. And it's an incidental thing. You just keep it moving. That's an accidental relationship. Then there are incidental relationships where you work with people, you go to a class together, you happen to frequent the same gym. They're just incidental relationships, and there's nothing special that binds you together other than the fact you go to the same place. Then thirdly, we talk about intentional relationships, those that you deliberately go after and you try to keep in your life, you try to make work. You have friendships that, you know, friends need to communicate with each other. So you pick up the phone and you call the person. You let them know, I'm just thinking about you, because you're being intentional about trying to keep the relationship and the camaraderie in the relationship. And then we talk about the highest type of relationship, which we're calling divine connections or covenant relationships. These are divine connections and covenant relationships. These are relationships, associations, connections which are arranged by God. The operative word here is God. They're arranged by God. And as the scripture says, whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. So God joins certain people together. And you have to recognize when God has joined you together. God joined Adam and Eve together. Adam didn't go to a club and see somebody with a real short, tight hoochie dress on and say, you know what? That's going to be my Eve. No, God brought him her. Amen. Eve didn't just say, no, I want somebody with athletic build. You know, I want somebody with wavy hair. You know, I like somebody dark skinned. The word is skinned, but y'all know how you'll put it, dark-skinned, light-skinned. No, it wasn't. No, God put them together. And then Satan came through sin to divide them and made them start blaming each other. At least Adam started blaming Eve for the decision that he sat there, let her be seduced into doing, and then he goes along with her. And so the devil wants to come in to divide covenant relationships. But the scripture tells in Ecclesiastes 3:14 that whatever God does, it shall be forever. When God brings people together, he wants it to be forever. And God brings people together for the purpose of covenant, purpose, and destiny. So God brings people together for purpose and destiny. In other words, there are some purposes that cannot be fulfilled unless people stay together who God has joined together. An example I gave you is that I can talk about the fact that I have four children, you know, Chandler, Tyler, Daniel, and Kendra. And I gave you all the example of From the Color Purple when Sugar Avery comes to town and a little boy says, his daddy, who's that? And he said, that was supposed to be your mammy. Okay, that's not how this works. You can't choose somebody else and have the same results. That couldn't have been their mammy or their mother, because if he married her, then they wouldn't have those children. Are you following me? So we said certain things can only be produced. Says, if you don't get anything else from this series, get this. Certain things can't happen that God has in mind unless the people he wants it to happen through stay together. Whether that's a church, whether that's a marriage, whether that's a company, whether that's a partnership. All the people that Paul and Barnabas were reaching, and the churches that were being birthed, and lives that were being changed, and even as they come before governors and kings, people they were reaching, the people God wanted them to reach could not be reached without them staying together to complete their divine destiny and their divine assignment. That is so crucial, because a lot of people don't understand that there are some people that God puts together and they're supposed to be inextricably linked together. That's why the Bible says regarding marriage, he says, husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against your wives. And the reason why he's talking about being bitter, because the reason why they said being bitter, because bitterness was going to lead to divorce. Jesus says this. They came and said to Jesus, Jesus, can we get divorced? And Jesus said, I'm telling you, well, the truth of the matter, if you just get rid of one wife trying to commit adultery. I mean, he said, excuse me, if you get rid of one wife just so you can marry another one, he said, you're committing adultery. Just came to me why he says that. Because Jesus described adultery as looking at a woman to lust after her. So Jesus said, if you're getting rid of this one because you've already seen another one you're lusting after and trying, you're committing adultery. And so, and they said, well, come on, Jesus, come on, ease up on this divorce thing. They said, didn't Moses allow divorce? He said, yes, this is so important, because the whole idea of object of salvation is to get us back to how God intended things to be. He said, yes, Moses allowed it. He said, but it was not so in the beginning. Moses allowed it. He said, but it was not so in the beginning. In other words, he said, that's not what God had in mind. He said, Moses had to do it because of the hardness of your hearts. That's in Matthew 5, by the way. Because of the hardness of your heart. In other words, he said, divorce comes about because somebody's unwilling to change. Somebody's unwilling to acquiesce to the other person. People stop meeting each other's needs and become selfish. Now, please understand, every time I go to talk about this, I know the society we live in. I know some of y'all have been married multiple times. That I'm not trying to put anybody in the condemnation about the past. I'm trying to let you know what God intends. And so if you're on number three now, just make this one work. All right? That's my point. I'm not trying to put anybody in condemnation. And I'm not, you know, I used to preach for a woman years ago who pastored a church in East Orange, New Jersey. And she believed, she used to teach her people, if you got married, and y'all can be married 30 years now, but if this is your second marriage, and even y'all got kids together and all, she used to teach people that you got to leave this husband, leave this wife, and go back and be reconciled to your first one, or remain unmarried. Anybody ever heard that teaching? That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. I'm telling you why that's crazy. Because first of all, God does not hold you in bondage to your past. And some folks might, Lord, no. Now, Jesus, some people are like, I almost rather go to hell than live in that hell. God will hold you in bondage to your past, but he wants you to have a bright future. And regardless of what you've done in your past, your future is bright. I say, everybody say, my future is bright. Look at your neighbor and say, you got some shades alone. And say, I need some shade. My future's so bright. Tell them I need some shades. My future's so bright. So then the Bible says, how can two walk together? And when it says walk together, the implication is continue to walk together. Because you can start off walking together, but we can't continue to walk together unless we be agreed. And some and y'all know, and God understands that we have difference of opinion. And the reason why there's a thing called submission is because there are differences of opinion. The reason why the Bible says that somebody got to submit is because there's a difference of opinion. So God understands you're going to have an opinion. That's if there was no difference of opinion, you never need to submit to anything or anybody. Well, you submit to your supervisor, even though you think that the supervisor, your way is better than the supervisor. But since you want to walk together with this check, you go ahead and submit to your supervisor. You follow me. Now, we can follow that out, but some reason that gets lost in translation regarding marriage and all that kind of stuff. And so God has covenant divine connections that originate from him, that certain things can't be accomplished without the two of them staying together. I thank God for what he's done here at Right Direction Church International. Okay, but I'm not foolish enough to think that what God has done here would have happened without Marsha Bailey. I was thinking today, there was a pastor, I said, I thank God for my wife. I'm glad she's my wife. I talk about it, I'm proud of it, anything. And I would, you know, and a lot of things that she teaches move me, and I get profound revelations of stuff she was teaching. I remember I was preaching for this pastor one time, I was preaching for about 2 or 3 days. And I said, you know, my wife was teaching one time, and she said something. He said to me, why you let your wife preach so much? I said, because she can. Ain't no sense trying to let her preach if she can't preach, trying to make her do something she can't do. Okay? But, okay, I mean, I know y'all love me and everything, but there wouldn't be no swatter without Herbert Bailey. Yeah. We have people come to church, they say, even after joining the church, they want to know, can I become a swatter? Sometime in tears. I want to be a swatter. And we said, well, if you join the church, you come, you already swatterized. Glory to God. Amen. Okay. And, you know, the D's Haven, that's a wonderful thing. Okay. I cooperated with it. And when the opportunity came for us to have, this man just comes and says, he calls me up, but we bought other piece of property from him. He says, Herb, he calls me by my first name. He's been known each other for years. He calls me, Herb, I got these houses there. And I told you when my sisters got older and whatever, I probably need to sell them. Do you want these houses? Can you use them for anything? Well, Pastor Mark said, we haven't even been talking about it aggressively, but she had just mentioned that, you know, one day she would like to have these swatter houses or these haven to house women in transition. Well, when he calls me up, that comes back to my mind. So we get those houses, and now that's come to fruition. But that would not have happened without the two of us being together. We have wonderful children, okay? But that wouldn't have happened without the two of us being together. One time our kids, they were sitting around talking about, one time boys were sitting around saying, yeah, if we didn't have mom, we probably know how to take, we can handle our money and stuff, but we'd probably be mean. We'd probably be cold, because the mom brings the warmth, and the love into the thing, So your children end up being a combination of the two of you because the two of you produce something that otherwise would not exist. Look, somebody say, let's stay together. So God has things in mind. And so the devil wants to hinder purpose and destiny. So he makes people disagree so they'll stop walking together. Whether that's in your church, and that's where we really want you to get application. We're using marriage and apply to your marriage, apply to relationships, but you need to see this spiritual thing of the church and the man and or woman of God that God connects you with. This needs to be a covenant thing. I'm going to go deeper with you. It needs to be a covenant thing more than it's a family thing. I know that's heavy right there. I jumped way ahead of myself without even giving you scripture. I count up the cost. Somebody told me this years ago, another pastor, I can mention the name, I'm not going to. He said, whenever you go to discipline somebody, you got to remember that if they leave, they probably going to take somebody with them because they came in together. I said, yeah, I realize that, but I can't sacrifice principles and compromise with people for the sake of just keeping members. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And sin is sin. I don't care who is in. Yeah. Now, and the reason why I make those decisions sometimes, because I know I started with six people named Bailey. And God gave us four others. And then all this international ministry came out of that from God. So I realized if God did it before, I don't want him to have to do it again. But it's God who did this. It's not me compromising with people. I remember there's a sister who she's been with us for just about from the beginning. Started with us on over here. We went out to Post Work Union Hall, went with us down to 4801 River Drive, 1230. She's still here. And it was a whole group of them came in together. About five of them. Okay. About five of them came in together. And then when I had to discipline one because she was praying against the church and praying against my vision. And so she left. And I said to the other sister, I said, are you going too? You go? She said, Pastor, they don't fall crazy. They're going to do what they want. I know the Lord sent me. See, that's covenant. They all came together, rolled together and everything. We got a deacon here. He came here because of somebody else who's not here. And when he left, I went to him. I said, are you going? He said, Pastor, I appreciate him. I appreciate him introducing me to this church and bringing me here. But I know where God sent me. He said, no, I ain't going nowhere. That's covenant. Because you got to understand that. Imagine, and perhaps it happened. I don't know. But remember, in John 4, it tells us about the Samaritan woman. The woman at the well, right? Woman at the well, and Jesus tells her, peeps the whole car, tells about a business, tells her you don't have five husbands, you shack with one now, he ain't yours. And she said, she goes into the city to the men. Know why? Because she had a lot of influence with men. The Bible says she goes to the men. The Bible is very specific. It says she goes to the men of the city. Because the men follow her, was used to following her. That's all I'm going to say about the men who was following her. She said, follow me. Come. I've seen a man who taught me, told me all things I ever did. And they came and she brought them to Jesus. She brought them to Jesus. But they started getting in covenant. They said, now we believe not because of your words, but we've heard for ourselves. And we know for ourselves, this is the Messiah. See, you have to understand that God may use different people to connect you with covenant, but that wasn't a covenant. That was the bridge to the covenant. That was just a referral. Okay. Your girlfriend introduced you to your husband. Now, when you're married to your husband, you don't start going with your girlfriend. That ain't what you're supposed to do. All she did was introduce you to your husband. Are you following me? See, you got to understand when God has joined people. Peter, the Bible says that God calls Peter, and then Peter goes and gets Nathaniel. Okay, and these people, they come and get connected to Jesus. You got to know who God has connected you with. Are y'all listening to me? Let me move on, because what the devil will try to use is offense. We talk about betrayal and breach of trust. We talked about how there's whisperers, but one of the main things that the devil will use to separate divine connections and divine and covenant relationships is offense. Go to Matthew 11. Look at verse 2. Now, when John had heard in prison, underline that, John is in prison. When John had heard in prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus a question. Here's the question. He said, go ask Jesus this. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you my pastor? Am I supposed to look for another? You my husband? Do I look for another? You my wife? Do I look for another? Is this my church, or should I be looking for another church? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again. Highlight that, because I'm going to end with that today. Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Go show John. Paint a picture for John. Show him. He didn't say just tell him. Show him. Paint a picture for him. Here's a picture that I want you to paint for John. Show John again. Remind John, verse 5, that the blind receive their sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And tell them this too. Don't leave this part off. Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. Everybody say offended. Now that word offend comes from, it's really two words in there. Offended. Off, end. And when people get offended, they cut it off and end the relationship. I call it, they get off and end it. It's over. Sometimes it's because you got corrected. I mean, Bishop Page was talking this morning, and I said to him, I said, no, the proof of submission is when you hear no. Let me say that again. The proof of submission is when you hear no. Everything going fine that you want to do, and then, oh, you find you submitted, you committed, until you hear no. No, we're not going to do that. No, don't do that. No, I don't want you to go there. No. No, I thought the Lord sent me here. Oh, did the Lord send you here to have your way or to have his way? Oh, y'all, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank God for evangelism team. We can get some more folks saved and get the church filled. Hallelujah. As long as more come in and go out, we're going to be all right. Go show John again. And blessed is he who's not offended in me. The Amplified, that verse says, verse 6, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for falling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. Notice that offense hinders you from seeing the truth. When you get offended, you don't see the truth. Sometimes people get offended because you try to show them the truth, especially if it's truth about yourself. The pastors, Pastor Carter, who launched us into pastoral ministry, the ones who God used to lay hands on us and bless us and send us forth to start this ministry, boy, he would tell you about yourself. Not mean or nasty, but he just would, I mean, he told me, he said, you're a great preacher, praise God. You're a great teacher, praise God. He said, but you got one problem, you don't love people. He said, you love preaching more than you love people. And God can't really use you to pastor until you love people more than you love preaching. Ah. Those words will make you sting, huh? Because every preacher wants to believe, oh, surely I'm doing this for the people. Until the offering ain't what you want it to be. I'm doing this for the people. Until you mad because you leave because the pastor needs you to do something else other than preach. And so I had to evaluate. And so when I heard that, quite honestly, I didn't see that. But I had enough respect and I had enough knowledge to realize that God puts us under authority because many times the people in authority are looking from up here and you're looking from down here. So because they're up here, they have a perspective, they have a paradigm that you don't see. So when someone, God placed you under somebody, they can see stuff in you many times that you don't see in yourself. So I have to be humble enough to say, oh God, if my pastor's seeing this, he's not just trying to hurt me, trying to be mean to me. There's something I need to correct. Now, a lot of people would have went go stomping off. I ain't coming back to this church no more. You know, that I'm jumping ahead of myself, but get all emotional, get angry. I ain't ever coming back. And then you realize you left your pocketbook. You got to come right back and you got to come and get you. Jesus says about John the Baptist, blessed is he who's not offended in me.
Every covenant relationship will be tested, whether it's a marital relationship, parent and child, or even a spiritual relationship. While God honors and respects covenant, the enemy will do anything to destroy divine connections. Learn how to recognize and preserve the divine connection God has placed in your life. Order this powerful message on CD or DVD. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or order online at rightdirection.info. Ask for divine connections and covenant relationships.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. If you have been blessed by this broadcast, please email or send a letter sharing your testimony. Email us at praisereport@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. We'd love to partner with you in taking the Word of God to places where it's rare and precious. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, call us in Columbia at 803-798-1230 or in Orangeburg at 803-531-7322 or toll free at 877-798-5433. You may also visit us on the web at rightdirection.info. Continue to listen to that still small voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it."